I don't feel that it is a life worth living to constantly conform to values, ideas, concepts, beliefs, ways of doing things that are out of alignment with who you are. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sauna Sessions with Prince EA. We got my producer Dustin here. This is going to be a very special episode. Every episode is special, but this one is actually, it's a Q&A. It's an Ask Me Anything. So we collected several of your questions, some of the burning questions you've always wanted to ask me, and we're going to get into it. I have no idea that Dustin has all the questions, so I have no idea what's coming up. So it'll be on the fly, spontaneous, and yeah, I can't wait to hear your questions and hopefully provide you some good answers and some good support for whatever you're going through.
All right, let's dive into it. Here's the first one.
G'day, Prince. My name is Jacob Lawson. I'm from Australia. I'm from a city called Brisbane. I have two questions for you. The first one is, how can somebody and everybody listening to this podcast and everyone in this world best navigate through a society that has ways of doing things and values and systems that don't always align with the personal values of myself, especially younger people who might feel lost in this, you know, confusing and sometimes crazy, or a lot of the time crazy, day and age that we live in now? My second question is, how can someone be the best creator and driver of their own life by creating a career and lifestyle of what they do for a living that is in line with their values, so they can create their own unique legacy that gives and helps to others?
Hey, Jacob. Wow. Great question. Brisbane. I love Brisbane. I've been there several times. Been to Byron Bay. I think we fly. Is there an airport in Brisbane? I'm not sure. But Brisbane, I filmed a video in Brisbane. It was a video, student versus teacher. We shot that over there down yonder in Australia. But great question. Great question. How to navigate through society that might have values that are not in alignment with one's own. This is a very big question, because you've got two choices, right? You've got following that hero's journey, and the other choice is you've got conformity. And I don't feel that it is a life worth living to constantly conform to values, ideas, concepts, beliefs, ways of doing things that are out of alignment with who you are. I think the beauty that all of us have inside of us is that we were born at this specific time. You're in Australia, I'm in Portugal. And the listeners are all over the world, but we were all born exactly where we were supposed to be born, in this exact moment in history that we were supposed to be born in. And so once you recognize that, you have to recognize that you have a uniqueness about you. You are as needed, as valuable, as important, as precious as the stars in the sky. You, I feel, have been chosen to be here. And so to not answer the call to those inner gifts and callings, to not allow them to unfold, I feel is one of the biggest sins that we can commit. And I've done a video on this, but I'll say it again for this episode. But the word sin, it comes from a Greek word, sin, and it was originally used in archery, and it meant to miss your mark. And I feel the greatest sin in life is to miss your mark in life, to not do the things, say the things, be the thing that you were supposed to be, that you came here to do. And I think it was Krishnamurti who said, it is no measure of health to be well adapted to a sick society. So I think you have to have the courage within you to be you, to speak up. And this was something that I had to navigate throughout my whole life. You know, as a kid sitting in the back of the classroom, not wanting to engage, not wanting to ask a question for fear of looking stupid. But I think in order to be the best version of yourself, you can't live in a state of fear. You have to follow your heart. You have to show that courage. And funny, courage comes from the French word cor, meaning heart. The most courageous act that I feel a person can do in their life is to follow their heart. And so when you do that, you find not only your tribe, because that's what's going to happen, right? When you start to speak your truth from a place of wisdom, of stillness, of calmness, and of love, you find your tribe. You find yourself becoming a magnet for like-minded and like-hearted people. From that tribe, others start to wake up. Others start to become liberated. I mean, you have no idea how many messages I've gotten and I still get saying, Prince, you know, what you said in that video, I've been looking for the words my entire life and could never find them. But thank you for saying it, because you've liberated me. And I say that not to impress anybody, not that I'm, you know, some important or, you know, high and mighty human being. But I feel like when you can be vulnerable, when you can show flaws, when you can show truth, the truth in your heart, this is when the universe starts to, as they say, bring in hidden hands to help you, to help your mission, to help your cause. And your life gets better. You don't die with music still in you. You die empty, which I feel like is the purpose for all of us, to not leave anything behind, to not leave anything unsaid. To bring it all back, I'll just summarize how to navigate through society. I think there's two ways. I think you have to know the rules so that you can break them appropriately, but also know your heart. Know that you're in this world, but ultimately you're not of this world. I mean, this is, I think, the highest spiritual understanding. I feel ultimately you want to get to the point where you do have the courage to speak your truth and live your truth, no matter what society says or thinks. And when it comes from a place of love, it will be well accepted, because what comes from the heart will ultimately reach the heart.
Here's the second question.
Second question is, how can someone be the best creator and driver of their own life by creating a career and lifestyle of what they do for a living that is in line with their values, so they can create their own unique legacy that gives and helps to others?
See, that's a great question. And I always felt that personal growth has to come before professional success. Because if you get the success, but you're not personally evolved enough, you won't be able to handle it. And it actually, what you think is a gift winds up being a curse. So I feel that we live in a world today where there's so many options. There's so many pathways for people to ultimately share their voice, their own unique voice. And for me, I chose the digital path. I think that building a personal brand, and we talked about this the last episode, I feel like everybody should have and build their own personal brand, because there's a market out there for you, for what you do. But again, before you focus on the doing, remember about the being that person. You got to be before you can do, and do before you can have. But it starts in being. How can you be that person and really walk the talk and live it? You bust your butt in learning everything you can about the field that you want to become an expert in. If you read 10 pages a day, maybe one book a month, within 5 years, you will be in the top 1% of your industry. The thing about it is nobody reads, nobody educates themselves. There's so many distractions in our world. If you're smart, you kind of have to go into what people call monk mode and work on yourself. When you have to get a life-saving surgery done, it's just you and the doctor. You know, they don't let Instagram in. They don't let friends in. They don't let family in. You know, they got to wait outside. But even then, they have visiting hours. And I say that because when you want to work on yourself and become that person who you feel like you should become, you're going to have to spend that quiet time, that time in the dark room, in order to develop, in order to truly develop. And so there's so many opportunities, options, and ways to do it. So I think it starts with learning about who you are, how you operate, how your mind operates, and then learning about the industry that you're in. I mean, getting a mentor, I would say, would be step number two or three. Getting a mentor, I feel, is a shortcut. It's a hack to success. If you can connect with somebody who's doing what you want to do, they can help you to overcome and to step over some of those roadblocks. that you would have fallen into had you not had the mentor there to support you.
Nice. I guess one thing I'd like to go a little deeper on is you mentioned, you know, learning things, really sitting down and knowing your industry. But some people have a hard time really applying knowledge. Well, what advice do you have for somebody who wants to learn but has a hard time taking those things and applying it to life or to industry or things like that?
So that's the personal growth side. You have a hard time taking action because you don't have the confidence in your own abilities. And so this is why I say personal growth comes before professional success. You really have to build that confidence, build that self-esteem prior to being successful in your career. Some people get lucky. I seriously think, you know, I mean, procrastination is a defense mechanism. Yeah, I know so many people who take class after class, course after course, but you're right. They never actually take the action. If you spend your time on the court dribbling everywhere, but never take a shot, you can't win. I'd say building your confidence is number one. Changing or architecting your identity actually is number one. Confidence is number two, because without changing your identity, there's no amount of success that can last. And you probably won't even try to achieve it if you don't have a healthy, positive self-image. This is common. This is a common thing that I think a lot of people can relate to. They feel like they're not ready. They need more knowledge, more information. They're just not ready. But sometimes you just got to jump and grow your wings on the way down. You really have to just try. You know, just go at it. And yeah, you're gonna stumble, but you'll be much further than you would be had you have been, you know, in analysis paralysis, just contemplating the what ifs. What if I fail? What will they think about me? So I think to take action, you just got to jump head first. You just got to build the confidence in yourself through affirmations, daily affirmations. You surround yourself also with people who've done it. If you surround yourself with people who've achieved it, it makes it seem less daunting. It makes that goal seem less daunting and easily achievable. Having a group of people who are doing what you want to do, I mean, that's it. That's the trifecta, right? Identity, confidence, and environment. There's nothing else. It's just that simple. If you change your identity, if you build your confidence and you hang around people who are doing what you're doing, come on now. They say if you hang out in the barbershop long enough, eventually you're going to get a haircut. You hang around successful people long enough, eventually you're going to be successful.
Here's the next one. This is from Amanda.
We all need leaders in our lives. I think more leaders around us in our communities is our best opportunity to learn as a community. But what makes a great leader? Is it someone that listens to other leaders and follows that example? Or is it someone that develops a set of values and principles that they live by and then lead with those values and those principles? Because that comes from an authentic, genuine place.
You know, I think a great leader is definitely somebody who knows how to follow. I feel like the great leaders lead from the back. I think that's a book, something like that. Another one is great. I think it's great leaders eat last. I feel like a great leader is a great servant. A servant in the sense of you want the best for those around you. You want the best for the community that you're in. And there's many types of leaders, right? There's the loud ones, the ones that, you know, are very vocal, very active. And then there's the quiet leaders, right? So I think to be a leader, you have to understand what type of leader you are. You have to be a leader within your own life, right? I feel like there's so many false prophets that don't walk the talk, that are leading people down a bad path. Do as I say, not as I do. And I think that's one of the worst philosophies that you can adopt, especially as a leader. As a leader, you really want to You want to lead by example. You want to be that change. You really want to walk it and speak from experience, not theory, but really from experience. Also lead with love. You know, when you really want the best for the community, it's not about having a big following. And a lot of people confuse that. They think a big following means a great leader. A train wreck also gets a big following. A lot of people like looking at train wrecks and standing outside. So I don't think a big following is a great measurement of a great leader. I think a great leader creates leaders. They don't always do the sheep and shepherd model, right? Follow me, I'll lead you to the promised land. I think the purpose of a leader, a teacher, a guru, is to fill the person with so much strength, so much courage, that they don't ultimately need the leader anymore. They're able to be self-sustainable, self-guiding. The quality of a good leader is how many people have you freed from even needing to follow you.
And just to throw out my thing too, I feel like a lot of times a leader is not somebody who is the first to volunteer a good leader. It's usually somebody who is sort of thrust into that position, who fills that void that's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times the best leader is the one who doesn't want it, right? They don't want the job. They don't want the position. Yeah, totally. I mean, this is the hero's journey. This is it, right? Is you've got somebody who kind of gets forced by their environment into a situation, and they have this conflict. Should I, you know, move forward, or should I go back to what's familiar? Again, they have that courage to move forward. And it's not even about ambition. There's deeper values and morals, I think, with a great leader. It really does come down to servant, you know, being a servant. I think the hero actually comes from the etymology of the word means servant. I think in the Bible it says the greatest amongst you shall be your servant. It's all about service. It's all about really, do you have the best interests of the people that you're serving? Or do you have your own interests, and do they take priority? I think a great leader, they definitely embody the first one.
So this one is from Devin.
I want to know what Prince E's relationship with money is and what helped him the most in opening his mindset, and how he combined his creativity, or at least committed to his creativity. Thanks.
Yeah, my relationship with money. I think a lot of people would say, you know, money is energy. Money is the transference of energy. And I definitely agree with that. You know, I grew up in not the most abundant circumstances, you know, being on the north side of St. Louis. You know, I remember actually just a few weeks ago, I was talking to my friend Juan, and he was reminding me that, man, I remember FaceTiming you and your roof was caving in. You had sheets on your windows. You didn't have any air conditioner in your car. For me, I think I forgot that because it just wasn't a big deal. You know, just, and not to the point where I was complacent about it, but just, I think, for the fact that I knew this wasn't the end. I knew there was a better, brighter future ahead of me, and it was just a matter of time until it unfolded. Some people call that, you know, being unrealistic. But I think, for me, my vision, it saw further than my present circumstances did. And so I say that to say that growing up, I didn't have a lot of money, but I was never I never chased it. When you find yourself chasing money, you never get it. When you find yourself chasing your bliss, your true bliss, and service and value, that's when money starts to chase you. I think the money that we have in our bank accounts is in direct proportion to the amount of people that we serve. So to answer your question, this is my relationship to money. I feel like the more people that you could help, the more that monetary energy is going to come your way. I've read a lot about money, a lot about financing. investing. You know, I could talk about index funds and stocks. But I think in that sense, I think we want to just keep it simple. This is actually something that I know. The human brain is not good at budgeting. So ultimately, what you want to do is you want to automate your investing. This I know for sure. You want to get to the point where you can automate your investing, and it comes out of your accounts without even seeing it. I'm trying to think of some other tips that I can give. If you have it in you, I think the entrepreneurial path is one without a ceiling. I think you look at the careers, you know, doctor, lawyer, scientist, all of those have ceilings, financial ceilings of how much money that you can earn. But when you're an entrepreneur, when you actually have your own business, there's really no ceiling. I think learning about entrepreneurship is a great way to learn about money and to also make more money. It can insulate you from things like lawsuits and also insulate you from certain taxes. The amount of things that you can write off, meaning that you get what's called a tax credit on your tax return, which is pretty much like money. So these are things that growing up, you know, in the North St. Louis, I didn't learn. My parents weren't the most like financially literate people. They were public servants. So you've got to read the books. One of my favorite books is A Simple Path to Wealth. Another one is Ramit's book, I Will Teach You How to Be Rich. Anything by Warren Buffett. I think he's one of the most sensible guys when it comes to money in the world. Him and Charlie Munger, I think you really can't go wrong when you do that. So money is interesting. You know, my relationship, I want more of it, but I'm not chasing it. I will accept it, but it's not like, you know, I've met several billionaires and I've shaken the hands of hundreds of some of the most poor people in India who has a better life from an internal perspective. That's the question. I really don't think the currency of life is in dollars or euros or pounds. It really is in service and value. And I do think when you can serve and when you do provide value, those currencies will come your way.
My travels around the world too. I totally agree with that. I feel like some of the happiest people and people with the biggest smiles on their faces have been in some of the poorest countries I've been in. You know, they find real value in the moment. And
each other. Wow. That's it. That's it. Right. Because I mean, that's the Grant study, right? The Harvard Grant study, the longest study in history. And, you know, I spent several million dollars on it, studied people from the age of 8 to 80 and found that the quality of life wasn't on the amount of money you had. It wasn't on dependent on your IQ. It was dependent on the loving relationships in your life, the community. That was it. That was it. You can't take it with you. You know, you can't. Denzel, you've never seen a Brinks truck follow a hearse. You know, you can't take all the money with you in the grave. You know, there's an old joke of Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes was like a pilot, inventor, very smart, rich guy. I think it was a whole movie on him. I think Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe somebody played him in this movie. When he died, he left all his money, you know, all his millions. He left all of it. When you die, people going to say, how much will you leave? And you could say, same as Howard Hughes, I'm leaving everything. You leave it all. You can't take anything with you. So I think it's better to walk gently, walk lightly. I think money can definitely solve problems. Financial stress is one of the, I think it's the biggest reason for divorce today is finances. But you got to understand, when you get to a certain amount of money, I think the cap is like 80,000, you just don't get happier. There's a ceiling on your hat. Like, you just don't get much happier from that amount. And what I've actually found is people with a lot of money, I think you actually go the other way on that bell curve, right? You actually get more miserable because you have to protect yourself. you can't trust anybody. You feel like everybody wants you for your money. Every, you know, you've gone through your fifth divorce. So it's like, how do you want to live? I think you're right, Dustin. I think it is about is living in the moment, appreciating what you have. It's about the community that you're around. There's much greater beauty found in a life than that exists in the material realm.
One other thing I wanted to touch back on and kind of get your thoughts. You know, you mentioned the importance of entrepreneurship and certainly mentioned a lot of interesting protections that I hadn't even thought of. But the way AI is going, I feel like, and I'd love to know your thoughts, it's becoming more and more important to be entrepreneurial. As you know, AI can take any job, it feels like, anymore, or make more and more people redundant. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that kind of outlook of the future.
You know, I don't study AI too much. I just got off the phone with one of my friends, Elijah, one of my great friends, and he was saying every day he studies AI, what's happening in AI, what's going on. And, you know, I don't look at it too much. What I've, my, I guess, insights and opinions at this moment in time, I feel like, yeah, a lot of the redundant jobs are definitely going to be taken by AI, a lot of the manual labor type of jobs. And it's really going to leave people with more time to go into creative endeavors. Will we have to be entrepreneurial? Maybe. I mean, there could be a point where, you know, some people are talking about, you know, UBI, universal basic income, where you just live. you just live and you can create. I mean, what a world that could be. I think you're going to always need people, because that's one thing AI can't do, create a new idea. And that's what we do, too, is just take, you know, an idea from here and then there. But even then, I don't know if AI can really do it as well as a human being can with all the experiences. Like a human being, you know, we get that eureka moment. We can make magic. But, you know, an AI is kind of just looking at trillions of data sets for the answer, and it's not really coming up with anything new, is what I understand at this point. Write to me if I'm wrong. So yeah, I think there's always going to be a space for human creativity and human connection, because the more disconnected we become, unfortunately, man, the more therapists we need. Look at our world. I mean, we've got more and more medications, more people jumping on medications than ever before. And somehow we've got more and more depression than ever before. Something's going wrong here. So I think solutions to some of these issues, and the solution lies, I think, in connection, in people, in touch, in hugs, in hearts.
So this one is from Justin.
Hey, how you doing, man? My name's Justin. I got a clothing brand called Buzz Out World that I started 7 months ago when I was a junior in high school. I'm currently a senior at this moment, man. Why are 92% of people are living in fear and 8% of people are living their dreams?
Wow. He said 92% of people are living in fear and only 8% are living their dreams. I'd actually go further. I don't know if 92 seems low. I mean, it's a lot of fear in the world. The human brain is obviously wired to value fear more than those dreams, more than love even. It's a, you know, protection mechanism to be in fear, to be in fight or flight, right? These are adaptations that our species evolved over millions of years. Fear meaning we want to survive. So that survival instinct kicks in. I think to some extent, this is the system that we live in. I think the system of media definitely keeps us in our lower states, the way news is done, the way the whole system is. I think it's engineered to put you in more fear so that you pay more attention to it. So I guess the question, what's the solution? Congratulations on starting a clothing line, because yeah, most people, they, again, it comes back, they don't either don't have the confidence to even start it. They procrastinate over and over and they just say, no, okay, one day, maybe one day I'll do it. But other people, they just jump in and call it some delusion of grandeur, delusion of success. But I think to some extent, you need that to be successful. I had it. I had it, despite what family or friends or society, the box that they kind of wanted to put me in. I always felt like I could create my own future, my own destiny. It's very rare to be the hero in your own life. But I think if you start to look at yourself as a hero in your own life, to really storify your life, I think great things can happen. I think we all look at ourselves as kind of like an underdog. That's why the underdog stories are just so popular, because we relate to it. Don't just relate to it. Go deeply into that underdog and use that energy, because I did it. I used it. I used it as a springboard to create more, to learn more. But I think overall, you know, this world is just, it's really built up on fear. But I think our purpose of being here has to be love. It has to be. The most translated word in any language is the word beautiful. Beautiful. It's not hate. It's beautiful. Man, and when we can look with the eyes of love, we see beauty, we see possibilities. And like you said, we see dreams. We see dreams. But you have to look within first. You have to look within first. And then you won't just dream, you'll awaken. You'll awaken to something even greater than a dream. You'll awaken to the present moment, and the present moment is full of possibilities. The present moment isn't held back by any past experience, situation, trauma. The present moment is free. And if you stay in the present, that's how you can create a beautiful future.
All right. So I think we got time for one more. So I wanted to save this one for last.
Let's do it.
Hey, Prince EA, my name's Manasvi, and I just have a quick question for you. So, as a young person living on this planet, what would be your biggest advice to the younger generation?
It's so interesting when you have a generational conversation, because it seems like every generation thinks that the next generation is just out of control. They're just gone off the edge, and they've ruined everything. And you think the generation before you was just old and out of touch. I think my advice for the younger generation, though, is to really take care of yourself. We just said depression is higher than ever. There's so many companies, corporations, influencers that want to steal your attention. They want to steal your attention. They want you addicted. I mean, we've never seen the amount of addiction that we've seen today. I'm worried, but also I do have hope that the generation has not ruined everything. They're not the worst that's ever been. But I look at some of the technology. I look at some of the forces that are being put onto the young minds. And I really say, take care of yourself. I think self-care is very, very important. And this is the advice I would give any generation, but to really take care of you, to not allow your mind to be infiltrated by propaganda, by negativity, by toxicity. Keep your body moving and healthy and vibrant. Yeah, take care of yourself. Somebody said, watch what you eat, watch what you drink, and watch what you think, because I feel like today the forces on the mind are very great, very great. I don't know if they're the greatest ever, but I feel like as a younger generation, you're definitely facing forces that want to steal your attention. And when your attention is stolen, you can't find your gift, your internal gift. We also live in an age of so many possibilities. So use your creativity, cultivate it, cultivate your creative energy, and connect with each other. I think that will be the final one just off the top of my head, because we're getting more and more disconnected. I think connecting with each other, connecting with Mother Nature, and protecting each other and protecting Mother Nature, that will be my best advice for the younger generation.
The only thing that I would add to that is to also let people take care of themselves. You know, so many times we project what we think is best for us and our values onto other people, and that may not be the case for everyone. You know, everyone has their own journey they're going through, their own things they're dealing with. And, you know, as long as you respect that in other people, I feel like, I feel like that's what'll make the world a better place, is not trying to control other people.
Love. My favorite definition of love is let others voluntarily evolve. That's it. Let others voluntarily evolve. Like you said, don't try to control, don't try to force your ideas, opinions, beliefs on anybody else. Let others voluntarily evolve. Be a model. Be a model for others. And embody that peace, you know, because, man, we're in some troubling times today, but I feel like if you get angry, all you've done is increase the amount of anger in the world. But if you get active, if you get joyous, if you get peaceful, then you get clear. You can provide an adequate solution to what's happening in the world, and you have increased the amount of peace in the world. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Sauna Sessions. Thank you, Dustin. I appreciate you feeding me the questions. Very great questions. Let's do this again. I would totally be up for doing this again, having another Ask Me Anything. This was awesome. This was fun. And stay tuned for the next episode next week on Sauna Sessions. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and tune in next week on Sauna Sessions with Prince EA. Peace.